Hello, everyone, and welcome in to CrushTheStreet.com. I am Kenneth Amaduri, and I got an exciting interview today. We're going to be focusing again on the importance of gold, especially in early 2019 here, as this convergence of events take place, you know, where markets are volatile and, you know, everything is in a bubble except precious metals, really. I mean, look at the chart from 2011 until now. We're in a very good time here to be looking at precious metals. And I have on the line Richard Munson of Sand Spring Resources. He's the chief executive officer, director, and corporate secretary. And he's someone that I really want to dig into this and, again, remind my audience the importance of why we should be looking at precious metals now. And if you want that leveraged upside, why we should be looking at the miners. And again, Richard is the CEO of Sand Spring Resources, ticker symbol SSP. Richard, thanks for coming on CrushTheStreet.com.
Thanks very much, Kenneth. Very pleased to be here, and especially at this particular time of the year and of the market.
Yeah, well, we have a situation where gold has been really ramping up as of late 2018 into 2019. And I'd like to get your thoughts on why we're seeing this. What's the change in the atmosphere that's going on now?
Well, Kenneth, it's as you've said. I mean, we could talk for 30 minutes about the number of somewhat scary things that are out there in the world. And I happen to be in South America this week, be at the project the rest of this week here in Guyana. And we see what's happening with the emerging markets all around us, not so much here in Guyana, but to our neighbor, Brazil, farther southern neighbor, Argentina. Those are markets that and economies that are really in significant trouble. And another, you know, the world is so interconnected that as those economies continue to struggle and you add a couple more here in Latin America, they're in trouble. You look around the world and see all of those countries that are saddled with a lot of debt, which has to be repaid in U.S. dollars. And you look at the volatility, as you mentioned, that exists in the markets in the U.S. And there really is no better safe haven than gold. Gold's always been that way. Gold will continue to be that way. And you're right, we've had some strengthening. People are talking a lot more about gold. We went for months in 2018 without seeing any articles being written about gold and why people should be looking at it. I noticed last Saturday on one of the sites that I look at, there were 6 articles about gold, and all of them were saying, you should be looking at gold for at least a somewhat of a significant portion of your investment portfolio.
Sure.
So you're right, we're on the cusp.
So that's interesting. You're in Guyana right now. Your flagship property is there. And I'd like to get the background on that a little bit, but especially as it pertains to the country, you know, I'm curious, is Guyana opening up to resources in a way because of what's happening geopolitically, because of what's happening to their neighbors? Are they thinking down the road here in a way that's strategic for their own best interests as it pertains to wealth and gold?
They certainly are, Kenneth. Guyana's been an easy place to do business for quite a while. You know, we've done business around the world in a variety of different locations. And there's some real key things here. One, it's English speaking. It's a former British colony. So that is immediately an easier place to do business. It has a population that's small. There's only about 750,000 people here. But everybody's benefited from the good British education system that was here in the 60s and 70s into the 80s. That's carried forth. Everyone here can read and write. That helps you a lot with the workforce. All of our folks that work with us in the exploration side can use GPS equipment, etc. And yes, this is a forward-looking government. And they've got some reasons to be doing that. One, ExxonMobil has a massive oil discovery offshore. They'll be producing oil by 2020, they say. 6 billion barrels of oil identified so far. So the country has brought in some good key advisors to help them develop not just the oil, but the rest of the mineral sector. There is tremendous upside potential here in the exploration side. The reason there aren't a lot of other gold deposits, other than a couple of big ones that a neighbor of ours, Guyana Goldfields, has, and our own Toroparo project, is because it's very difficult to explore here. You know, historically, you found gold by looking for outcrops and things like that occur at the surface of the ground. That doesn't happen here because you've got tremendous tree cover, foliage cover, and a fairly thick layer of sand, weathered rock, that's here from the billions of years of erosion that we've gone through in this area. So yes, Guyana is a good place to be. They are looking forward. We're seeing other major gold companies starting to, we say, sniff around a little bit. Barrick is here. Newmont is in our neighboring country, Suriname. So we're getting more and more on the radar screen.
Okay, so you've been involved with the Toro Peru project for many years now. Tell us how significant this project is. I mean, it's a world-class resource, you know, one of the top undeveloped resources in the world. And so tell us about this a little more and, you know, what the upside here is, especially as we move forward into 2019.
Well, you're right, Kenneth. This is a world-class resource. And I don't think anyone argues with that in terms of the size of the resource. We're in excess of 10 million ounces so far. And when we came, there was a little hole in the ground. You could even get to the project except by boat. And so there was some real challenges to it in all the years that we've been here. But we've taken it from a little hole in the ground to 10.5 million ounces. We've done a pre-feasibility study. We're in the final phases of a feasibility study. So we've done a lot of work. It's one of our financial advisors, Bank of Montreal, has canvassed properties basically throughout Latin America. And they've come back with the conclusion that we now, just in the last short period of time, have the largest undeveloped gold deposit in South America that's held by a junior company. So as you see some of the other bigger companies need to be replacing gold, they're going to be looking for projects like Toroparo. This is a unique project because of some of our financial partners. The first and most major partner is Wheaton Precious Metals. They've been involved with us since 2013. They're one of the top companies in the world that handles what are called streaming transactions. And that's a way for them to help us finance construction. They give us approximately a third of the cost of building the project. And in exchange, they get a favorable right to buy 10% of the gold we produce at a price of $400 an ounce. So for us, it's a tremendous advantage to have that arrangement in place. Last year, we were able to team up with a relatively new, exciting gold producer, Grand Colombia Gold, which has operations in Colombia, South America. And the key thing for us as we go into 2019 that comes with the Grand Colombia folks is their experience in building large projects in difficult locations. And this is a challenging location. We're in deep forest, rainforest, and we have to generate our own energy. There's no power grid to hook onto, et cetera. One of the key things that's evolved from the involvement of Grand Colombia is I've been able to add to my technical team by using Grand Colombia project managers, engineers, geologists, all working to help us because they want to further the value of their own shareholdings in Sand Spring Resources. So I've gained a strong team without expending any further capital and monthly expenses. So Sand Spring's poised as we start 2019 to make a significant move. We think over the next few months, we're going to be able to show the market that we've really strengthened the project in the last couple of years with work we've been able to do.
So, Richard, it's interesting. The endorsement that comes with, you know, Grand Columbia, and then you have Wheaton Precious Metals. What does that say about, you know, what they believe you have, and, you know, what sort of optimism does that give you for Sand Springs?
Well, you know, the if we go back to 2013, when we published a pre-feasibility study for this project, Wheaton came to us and wanted to take a look at that pre-feasibility study with a view towards potentially doing a transaction. Now, for us and for me as CEO of the company, the fact that it was Wheaton was very interesting, because Wheaton's known in industrial circles, if you will, around the precious metals business as the streaming company that does the most extensive due diligence of any of the groups out there. And they're known because they have their own in-house technical team. That's very unique. None of the other streaming companies do that. And the level of due diligence they did was just amazing to me. I remember sitting in a meeting with them in Vancouver, and one of their engineers asked my chief operating officer, "Do you know that in year 12 of your mine plan, you've got 14 loaders working on bench 76? And do you think you have good access roads enough to handle that?" And I was just blown away by the fact that they were looking at that kind of detail. Wow. And the fact that they came back and said, "Sand Spring, you're the first junior company that we're going to offer a streaming arrangement to." That was tremendous validation to me, not just the project, but also my team. And so Wheaton and Sand Spring signed an agreement in late 2013. They have stayed with us. They've been a tremendous partner. They're a great group. They helped me a lot on the technical side. And we look forward to a long relationship with them. And certainly other people that are looking at this see an ability under this arrangement for a third of the upfront capital that's already committed to building this project.
So, Richard, if we go back a few years, Sand Springs traded for north of $400 million. We're looking at a fraction of that right now. What has changed in this environment that, you know, we're seeing such a low valuation? And, you know, maybe speak to why it was valued higher maybe before. And is it just a function of gold price moving up that, you know, we'll likely get back there in a not too distant future?
Well, yeah, it's a you brought up a little bit of a painful fact to me, Kenneth. I still own the shares that I got when we took the project public in 2009. And so I've watched that chart go from 35 cents where we started to almost $4 and back down. So it's been a little bit of a personal pain, and certainly painful for our long-standing, long-suffering shareholders. But we have many that have stayed with us through this entire run. And why did we go to 400 million? It was a combination of two things, Kenneth. We were able to bring this project to the public market with a base resource of 3 million ounces. Over the course of 2011, 12, and into 2013, we increased that resource to near 10 million ounces, and also did a pre-feasibility study which showed that we had 4.1 million proven and probable gold ounces in the ground. So that, and the gold price of gold was moving, of course. I look back at 2012, 2013, and I reference those as the days of Wine and Roses. It was kind of a tremendous growth potential in the precious metal sector. And gold topped out at around $1,800 during that period of time. So since then, gold has become really a non-consequential process or element here in the financial world. Just everyone said gold is dead. And you look at it's not just Sandspring that's trading at incredibly low valuations. You'll see some smaller junior producers that are producing gold and they're profitable and they're trading at about what their cash would equate to on a capitalization basis. So the sector is horribly depressed, but I think we have a great opportunity here. And I'm certainly not selling any of my shares. I'm trying to participate in every financing we do to keep a strong position because I am committed to this project.
Richard, remind people what the ticker is of the company, if you would, and where they can go if they want to learn more information about Sand Springs.
Yeah, we trade on the TSX, Kenneth, at SSP. We trade over the counter, SSPXF. And our website, sandspringresources.com, has a lot of information on it. You also, because we're a Canadian traded company, can go to a website called CEDAR, SEDAR.com, and it has every document basically that we've published, underlying contracts, technical studies, financial statements. There's everything you want to know and more about Sand Spring Resources.
Absolutely. Richard Munson, everyone, thank you so much for coming on Crush the Street. And if everybody, you know, can take something from that, I mean, you know, precious metals are severely undervalued right now. And if you want the leveraged upside, the leveraged exposure to the junior mining sector, here's an opportunity and here's a place to be. So Sand Spring Resources, check them out. Richard, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
My pleasure, Kenneth. Thanks very much.